Thank you, Miss Deanna. And he is alive, no doubt about that. Take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Title of the message is Victory Over the Tomb. Victory Over the Tomb. What exactly does that mean to you? You hear it every Easter. It is brought up about the tomb. She sang songs this morning. We talked about the tomb being empty. Obviously, it means that there is no longer a body there. It means that Christ has risen. But what does that mean to each one of us? For it is each one of us that he went to that cross for. And what does it mean to the world at large, especially in the world in which we live today and what we see taking place and people's attitude towards God and death? And so we'll talk about that briefly this morning. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 10. I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able. Paul is writing here about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for believers and what that means. Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit and you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You may be seated. So the tomb itself, some of you in here have had the opportunity, I know, to go to Israel or may be planning on it or have it sometime in the future. And one of the places that people most often go is to the tomb where Jesus laid. Now, that tomb, if we peel back where we are today, is empty. But on Friday, what we call Good Friday, the day before the Passover, being on a Saturday, the Jewish custom was, and the Romans honored that, that anyone who had to be put to death would be prior to the Sabbath. And our Lord died on that cross on what we call Good Friday. Scripture records, and so does history, that in fact, proving what was laid in Scripture, they have proven scientifically that time did stop, that the sky went dark. That darkness represents exactly what hell will be. The greatest lie that the devil still promotes today and is seen is the fact that there is just this life, and when you die, that's it. Well, that is true about the body. It is not true about the soul, for the soul lives forever. The devil don't want to touch that soul part. He didn't give it. He also can't take it. It's yours. It's given by God. And God allows us to have the freedom to choose where our soul will reside for all of eternity. And because of sin, Jesus came that you and I might choose the option of heaven rather than hell. So at that tomb where the Lord died upon that cross and was taken down, You can imagine for a moment the sorrow. The sorrow and the fear that gripped those who had followed him. They already were persecuting the Christians and those who followed Christ and believed in him, and now they had even taken Christ himself. You and I know by living in forward rather than at the time that he willingly gave himself. One of your songs you alluded, he could have called the angels. But yet, he gave himself to be put upon that cross. I'm sure once inside of that tomb, after they had performed what was normal for that day, in laying his body to rest and covering it and putting a fragrance there, there was a time of quietness. If you think about that for a moment, the stillness of the moment. Some soft sobbing, but quiet. And that tomb would remain quiet. For fear that the body might be stolen, they sealed it with a large stone that one single man could not move. The Pharisees and the Sadducees even went and petitioned the Roman governor to place guards before it. It was a sealed tomb, both by the stone and by the Roman guards. These guards would not be found sleeping, for it would mean their instant death. They were veterans who had fought. They were tough men. And they would take the life of anyone who tried to enter that tomb. And yet on the third day, just as Jesus promised, he would rise from that tomb. As we read in our scripture, we know that the women went and found that the tomb was empty. The stone had been rolled away, the guards unconscious. And yet nothing remained but the death clothing where Jesus had laid. He had risen just as he promised he would. So what does that mean to us? That tomb, once sealed, I assure you, was in total darkness. But the life from the Father above to his Son, who had been so obedient, that light shone down in that tomb and it broke loose all of the darkness, the stone moved because of the power of that light. And Jesus was lifted from the dead, even as he had brought back Lazarus. But the difference is Lazarus died again physically. Jesus Christ never died. He is still living today and sits at the right hand of the Father and has made you and I a promise that he will return. So what does that mean for you and I in our daily lives? Let me put a few things in perspective. Having an empty tomb means there is no darkness forever. We go through times in our lives that it seems like it's a very dark period. Some folks will give way to that, and we know that statistically, especially for our young people as well as adults, but they see no hope, no future. Their struggle has gone on. It doesn't seem it has any end, and they take their own life. That's where the suicide comes from. Zero hope to make a life that changes from what they're currently experiencing. That empty tomb assures you and I there is no darkness forever, for even the sealed tomb broke loose and had light in it. It also means not only that there is no darkness forever, but no struggle can last for a lifetime. No struggle will go without redemption. And finally, a victory over that struggle. And you say, well, there's people who struggle with cancer and with other life-taking events and illnesses and so forth. You're right. But that struggle ends at death. That struggle ends. For those who know Jesus Christ, they are immediately in the presence of the Almighty. Immediately they see the face of Jesus. Immediately their body is restored, for their soul will live forever. Whether that body is like what we see today or not, I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. What we do know is that when Jesus ascended to see the Father and He came back, He had a glorified body. I feel assured by what we read in the Scripture, knowing that God is constant, you and I will have a glorified body. And that glorified body will know no pain. You won't wear any glasses. Doc, you won't have to have no hearing aids or speaker back there. Miss Connie, you won't have to worry about that knee replacement being a bionic woman. And Laura, you won't fall and break another ankle, I promise you. And Mater will even learn how to drive. And you won't break down. Everything. And even his bare ass, yes, you'll have a full head of hair. One more time. No struggle will go without redemption, and that is what Christ did. He redeemed our struggle with sin. The empty tomb also portrays for you and I that no sin will last forever. No sin, no matter how great it may be, whatever you think about it, whatever the devil lies to you about that God can't forgive, and that empty tomb signifies no sin, no sin whatsoever can ever go unforgiven. When Christ raised from that tomb and raised to walk again and live with His Father, He is capable of forgiving any and all sin. Period. No matter how many, it's not about the quantity. It's not about how big they are or little they are. They're all can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is exactly what an empty tomb means to you and I. That is what the hope of Easter is, that God's promises will and are always fulfilled. Every promise He has made in this book will be fulfilled. And folks, I'm here to tell you Jesus' promise that says, I will come back, He will come back. No matter what the world wants to believe. No matter what the world or the devil promotes in this world, that there is no life after death, that is a lie. You either go to heaven or hell. If they promote there's somewhere in between, that's a lie. You have one of two options. Heaven and hell. Hell will be like the darkness of that tomb because there is no light. God is not present. It'll have a coldness like that tomb, for God is not present. It will have flames that burn forever, for God says it is a place of a fiery pit. Yet you will live forever, even though you may be scorched. The body, in that case, recycles immediately. You'll feel every bit of those burning fires for every day for the rest of all of eternity. That's the reality. Others will say, well, preacher, that's kind of harsh. Yeah, it is. Because that's what God made hell to be, was harsh. But you have an option to not experience that. That's why Jesus went to that cross. It's why He said, Father, forgive them. It's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper that says His body was given in place of ours. His blood was sacrificed so that ours does not have to. He promoted and gave us a brand new covenant. A covenant that says if you believe in Him with your heart and you ask Him to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior of your life for all life, even into eternity, He will do just that. There's not a single thing you have to do except accept the gift. The old devil will come around and tell you you've got to do a lot of things. Well, the main thing the devil is really good at, and he's done all of his life and all of his existence, is lie. And he still does it today. We don't like it when people dupe us and we find that they lied to us and we believed what they said. Well, folks, if you don't like that, and being you're a Texan or an American, I can say you don't like that, then there's no reason to believe what the devil says, because he is a liar. That hope of Easter means that death is conquered, not the physical death. Our bodies are still our bodies. They're corruptible and they will die unless the Lord comes and takes us home. And even then, that body will immediately be exchanged as we go to heaven. But the soul that He gives lives forever. That soul is what He gave. That's why He said He knew us even before we were in our mother's womb, because He already knew the soul that He had created. It is that soul that lives within us. That is the Holy of Holies, or the temple, if you will, that the Holy Spirit resides in, is that soul. And it is immediately the Holy Spirit, when we breathe our last breath, takes that soul and transmits it before the Father. Faster than Star Trek ever thought about. You don't even have to have a teleport. Again, it's all taken care of you, for you and I. What it means when He lives is that we too will live forever. Now that's a little hard concept for us, right? If you think that heaven is going to be like the struggles of this life, that's not a reassuring factor, but the deal is it won't be. Our bodies won't give out because we have glorified bodies. It tells us that God keeps His promise and will for all of time. He makes us a promise that if we come to Jesus Christ, we are His forever. Nothing and no one can take us away from Jesus Christ when we accept Him. That ought to give you and I a greater joy. But even better than that, that empty tomb signifies what we read today. Look back at the scripture that we read this morning, because it is the hope of Easter for all of us. He tells us that, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit lives because of righteousness. That is Jesus' righteousness when He went to that cross. Even Pilate himself said, I find no fault, nothing against this man. No charges would stick. It was just the hatred of evil. Same evil we see today take lives that we can't understand why. There had to be those in that crowd that said, why are we killing this man? He's done nothing wrong. That's called evil. The second that it says in verse 11, he says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. That's speaking here on earth, through His Spirit who dwells in you. The moment you accept Jesus Christ, the Comforter, the Guide, the Holy Spirit, some people get all wooey-wooey about that and think, ooh, we talking ghost things. No, we're talking about the power of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost enters into your life. The Old Testament speaks of it this way, that when they created the temple and had the Holy of Holies, that they saw the cloud of smoke, the Spirit of God, indwell that place. Folks, that is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who indwells us, that Jesus promised would come and even told His disciples, I know you don't understand, but I must go that the Spirit may come. And through that Spirit, we see the power, not only of when it came there on the day of Pentecost, but the power in our lives each and every day. It is that Spirit that allows you and I to pray for one another. It is that Spirit that allows you and I to give of ourselves, to be the servant, even as Jesus was a servant, to wash other people's feet. Symbolically, He showed us that in order, the same that His Word spoke, to be the greatest, you have to be the least. How true that is. Jesus came to be the least, but yet He is the greatest. And if we desire to be like Him, we too must serve under the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit. This Mahdi is made up of a lot of different people that each have different talents, but yet God brings us together as a body, as a whole, that we come and we function to present the gospel and to nurture one another. Presenting the gospel is not only our challenge, but it is to grow one another and nurture one another. Well, therefore, it allows that gospel to spread even further because we bring others in who become believers and they have talents that we're missing. Every time this church has missed some portion, someone new steps in that fills that portion that we needed. It's how God works. What it also tells us as we continue on, he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That means doing whatever we want to do. Putting the big eye on the throne instead of Jesus Christ on the throne of our life. We try to fill that God spot. It brings nothing but death and destruction. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, each and every one of us, immediately, when we accept Jesus Christ, are elevated not to a believer, but of a child of the King, a son and a daughter, adopted through the blood of Jesus Christ. What it means for us living our daily lives, that no matter how dark things may become, there will be light through our faith if we keep our eyes on Him and trust in Him. That dark day will end. That means with the struggles of life that they will end. Even if it's by death and we go to see our Maker. Oftentimes I hear those who have the disease that will take their life. And their testimony is, if God performs a miracle and heals me, I win. If God takes me home, I win even more. The age which we have, Miss Jean, your age, is a blessing from God. And He's not done with you. He has a reason and a purpose for you being here and for each one of us who are still here. There's people we touch every day. And until God calls us home, we are His at His direction. It promises that His power is available for you and I as believers. Why we take time to have prayer and praise, because we believe, and we not only believe, we have seen the power of prayer of what takes place. And not only have we seen it, but you live in a community because we get those calls from people who do not attend this church, but they call and say, we've seen how your prayer works. Pray for us. You're a living testimony. Every single one of us are a living testimony, not of ourselves, not of this church, but of Jesus Christ, of His power, because He was resurrected from that tomb. And that in turn, folks, spreads the hope of that Easter to every single person we meet. Whether it's by physical contact that we come into contact with those, if it's a smile or a handshake or a pat on the back or maybe a hug, or if it's through music or the preaching of the word, or maybe it's through giving a family that doesn't have food the food that they need, a generosity, a servant's heart, to be all we can be for our Lord, that means that we be all we can be to others around us. That empty tomb gives us the promise that just as the Father raised the Son, so we will be raised when we believe and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There's a lot of folks that have a head knowledge, what I call a head knowledge of God. They believe there's something greater than them. That's all well and good. But Jesus tells us there will be many of those who cry out, Lord, Lord, look what we have done in your name. And he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. He's not interested in you having a head knowledge. He's interested in you having a heart knowledge. One where you believe and accept him. One where his spirit dwells in you. Isn't that amazing about our God? And every single believer in this room, that same spirit that Jesus raised from the dead lives in you and I every day. And guides us every day. Will teach us every day. Our problem is oftentimes we don't hear. And we don't even have hearing aids. We just get too busy to listen for all the noise. The hope of Easter, Jesus Christ lives, and the tomb is empty. What a praise. That, you know, whenever you finish off any container and it's empty, it just means there ain't no more. When you eat the last bit of that barbecue and that plate is empty, you throw the plate away. When that pie pan is empty, you throw the pie pan away. When that glass is empty, you throw the glass away. God didn't throw it away. He filled it with that name above all other names, Jesus Christ. That empty tomb means the world to a believer in Jesus Christ, both for eternity and while we're here, still on earth. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes.